Welcome to the Becoming Ultra Show, where everyday people train to do extraordinary things like run really, really far. We have been building a community since 2015, and no matter how long you've been listening, thank you so much for being here. You can learn more or get involved at becomingultra.com. I am famous.
Hey everybody, welcome to Becoming Ultra. Today, a little bit different, not exactly about running, but running kind of led to what we're going to talk about today, which is me and my friend Kale Pearson. We are putting on a leadership camp down in Costa Rica. I did a running trail camp down there last February. We'll be doing it again in February, by the way. Check out becomingultra.com. You can see all of our retreats and camps and stuff. But yeah, when we were down there, we were just thinking about other things we've done in our careers, from coaching, for me, coaching big teams and groups of people to, you know, work together better and push through some tough spots mentally and physically. And for Kale, just doing the same thing on leadership and in the business world. So we decided to team up and put together what we were calling Adventure Leadership Retreats. So today on the show, we kind of talk about how this all got started and what our goals are with it. Our inaugural event is coming up in February of 2024 down in Costa Rica. We have awesome partners down there, just a beautiful place. If you are part of a team at work, if you are an entrepreneur, if you're a coach, if you're a leader in the workspace and you're looking for ways to lead a little bit better, this might be for you. It might be for a group of you from your organization, whether it's a coaching crew or an executive leadership group, or, you know, just people that have known each other for a while that want to get better at things, especially when it comes in the form of leadership and team building and stuff like that. So we kind of talk about that a little bit, throw in some stories in there, and that's what the episode's about today. So hope you guys enjoy. Keep your eyes open. Season 14 is launching really, really soon, y'all. Thanks a lot. Hey, what's up, everybody? Scott Jones here, Becoming Ultra, with my buddy Kale Pearson. Brain freeze. What season were you? 11?
Season 11, yes.
Yeah, so Kale was a runner for season 11. We went and ran out in Fruta, Colorado. I guess technically Mac. Yeah, Kale, how you doing, man?
Doing great. Doing great. Glad to be here again with you, man.
Yeah, dude. So me and Kale have become pretty good friends over the last couple of years. He came to a camp in October of 21. Jeez. I'm brain locked a lot today because I feel like I've known you for like 15 years, just in the last, it hasn't even been 2 years yet.
I know.
But we started off with a bang. We've told the story a bunch where I was kind of challenging him on the mountain to go a little faster. And before I even knew him, like before I barely even knew him. And it kind of launched a friendship, and I've been coaching him and his wife with the ultra stuff. And he's been coaching me up on some business stuff. And like, we share a lot of ideas. We've hung out in big mountains. We've hung out at races. We've hung out, Costa Rica,
Florida, Flatland race.
We hit three oceans in 1 year. We hit the Pacific, the Atlantic, and the Caribbean.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Well, I guess the Caribbean's not ocean. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Bodies of water, whatever you want to call them.
But I don't know. What I found is like me and my wife just talk about this all the time. When we used to date and we'd go on big efforts, like even like 10 to 12 miles. And after you do the hard part, when you can actually talk again on the downhill or the fun part of the hike or the run, the endorphins open up and so many ideas just came streaming out. And I think me and you were so like that, like, we'll come up with 100 ideas just going for a run. And, you know, like I'll tell Lauren a couple of them. You'll look at Megan, your wife, and, you know, she'll kind of just smile or shake her head in a way. But I think, we got done with Costa Rica and came up with some really interesting concepts that we wanted to work together. And, I don't think I've worked in this capacity with a client. And if I have, it's been a long time. Me and Lauren used to just go with every idea that we would think of, and It bit us in the butt a little bit back in the day. And now maybe you can speak to this here in a second. I'm just a lot more, I'm a lot more strategic and thoughtful with things that I want to actually put energy into. I think it's just having kids and prioritizing my time a little bit more, but that's kind of the nutshell. We're going to present to you guys something that we're working on here. We put together this leadership concept, that's going to happen in Costa Rica. But I don't know, that's just me riffing a little bit, Kale. But in the last couple of years, does it feel like, don't you feel like we've known each other for more than less than 2 years?
Yeah, I think so, and I think it's, you know, it started with that challenge on that first trail camp, and you know, we're wired a lot of the same. It's like we want to do big things. We want to see. I think probably the biggest thing is we both love seeing other people's success, and whether that's coaching them or being a part of them, guiding them, or just being a spectator. And you know, that's a rare thing in today's world where everybody's about me, me, me all the time. You know, it's just example I always use in sports is, you know, you see the guy that scores the bucket or the goal if it's soccer or catches the touchdown or whatever, but what led up to that? You know, the assist, you know, especially in basketball, I always talk about that. You know, there's so much that happens and guy gets an easy bucket, but it's maybe two or three great plays before that that really allowed that to happen. And that's really what drives me is seeing that success at the end and the teamwork that leads up to it. So I just love celebrating success, really.
No, that's cool. Yeah, I think for me, for working with athletes in so many different disciplines and sports, like my passions were in like back in high school, baseball, basketball, football. But I was really good at baseball. Played college ball, and you get out, and I'm wired to go train for something. It didn't matter if it was baseball, and you get to Colorado, and you go train for big mountain stuff, and it's a passion of mine, but it's not the only passion. But when like people like you and Megan come to me, or the clients, you know, I have a bunch of clients that I love that are all over the country and even in the world. And you just want to put them in situations where they can be proud of their efforts. And if, you know, if they give me a little bit of credit at the end of the day, it's awesome, but I don't need the credit, you know? Like I'm helping them, they go do it. I feel that pride in myself for helping them. And you know, it's not always perfect, but just helping people kind of bust through some barriers mentally and physically is freaking awesome. And I think a good place to start this is just talk about your background before we talk about Costa Rica. Talk about your background in the leadership world. I'll talk a little bit more about mine in the sport and performance world, but we're going to marry these two together here by the end of the call, you know?
Yep, definitely. So leadership wise, business experience, you know, I've always been motivated. Grew up working for my dad. He owned his own businesses. And so I always had that owner's mindset. You know, really, I mean, it started probably when I was probably about 16. I remember he had open heart surgery, was down for several weeks. I was leading construction jobs as, you know, a 16-year-old, you know, a scrawny 16-year-old, and the subs would give me a hard time. And it's like they didn't want to listen to me. And, you know, I just had to figure out at an early age how to communicate and how to see, you know, help people see why we needed to work together or I needed them to do a certain job if it was a sub. And I remember one guy was really gruff. And, you know, for him, it was pretty plain. It's like his name was Richard. It's like, Richard, you know, you're going to do it anyway. So it's like, do we just want to get it done together, or do I really need to get my dad involved? Because at the end of the day, we know we're going to get this done. And he just looked at me and just turned around and just went to work, you know, just like, I can't believe this 16-year-old just coaching me up on this. You know, so it really started at an early age, you know, worked all the way through college working for my dad. A lot of lessons from my dad. I mean, same for you. You know, I remember the time sometimes you hated those lessons. But now I'm so grateful for them. And you know, one other story that really sticks to my mind is we went from building houses construction to opening a lube shop. And you know, I was 19 years old, I don't know, probably making $9.50 an hour or whatever it was at the time. And he told me he was going to take me from that to whatever minimum wage when we open this lube shop. And I said, no, you're not. He's like, yeah, I am. You know, a little bit more heated than that. I actually walked off the job, was really, really pissed. Of course, he's back then, it was a pager. He's paging me, like, you know, to call him back. And long story short, I said, I'm not going to take a pay cut because you know I'm going to work circles around anybody that we hire. And he's like, but you don't have the experience. I'm like, I don't need the experience on this. I have, you know, at the early age, I knew I had leadership experience. And I was the ability to lead was just something that, you know, he instilled in me from a very young age. First day, it's like, okay, I worked circles around the guy. We had hired a manager. I did better than him. I think by the end of the week, I was the manager and whatnot. And so that just really instilled in me that leadership piece. You know, fast forward to today, been working, really on my own the last 7.5 years, doing several things, whether it's consulting, leadership development with Crestcom, running B2B, a freight brokerage. And, Scott and I were just talking about this before we jumped on. It's like, we both work really hard, but it'd be really hard for somebody, for either one of us to go to work and for somebody to tell us what to do. We're unemployable in that regard. Great workers, great teammates, but the minute you start saying, "Oh, you need to be here at this time and do these things on every single day," it'd be like, "I'm out." But what I really do is I take that and look at how do I create an environment where, people who are entrepreneurial, who are driven, but maybe don't want to take that leap can find success. So it's really about setting up the environment where I'm focusing on their skill set, what their strengths are, and helping them really pave that roadmap to whatever their success looks like. I've done it through the leadership development with Crestcom. It's really about giving people skills today that will drive them forward, that they can in turn be better leaders. And one last point on this is, I think that if you're a better employee, a better worker because of the environment that you're in, you're a better, husband, wife, brother, sister, parent. It spills over, right? So just like if we have a negative situation at work, we bring that home. But if we have a positive situation, we bring that home as well. And I think that's one of the things that we don't focus enough on is in the work environment of like creating that environment because, happy people, they do better work. It's plain and simple. So a little bit about that. Probably rambled, but that's kind of how the stories roll.
Well, I don't know. For me, I feel like just kind of a really simple version of that for me is like how do we get people to do harder things that translate to better life and their work life balance and all of those concepts. Whether, you can do a hard 10-minute workout, you can do a hard 10-hour trail run, do a hard 3-day stage race. It doesn't matter. It can be for your sport. It can be for freaking ballet or bar. It doesn't matter as long as you're committing to something physically that is going to transcend into the mental aspect of your life. And coaching for 20 years, I've been able to do that in so many different ways, whether it's going up to freaking Albany, New York, and putting a professional basketball team through a 5-day training camp with these kids that were just hungry and rough from the city and just wanted to get after it. And just showing them a different way to work and a different mentality to approach the game, a little bit more businesslike. I mean, even last week I had a couple of lacrosse kids come into the gym, and the first thing we talked about is like the reason that most high school kids fail building muscle and doing the right thing in the weight room is because they go in without a plan. They walk into the gym and they let the gym dictate what they're going to do instead of going in knowing exactly, I'm going to go straight to this place. I'm going to do my mobility and warm up stuff. I'm going to go straight to the squat rack. I'm going to start my warm up. And then we're going to get into it. And we might only be working for 30 to 50 minutes, but it needs to be a pretty intense 30 to 50 minutes. I need to focus on form. I can't be going to my phone every 5 seconds. It's fine to listen to music, but it's not fine to text, your girlfriend after every set. Like if you go to any gym in America right now, you're going to see some 26-year-old kid sitting on a bench, taking up space, looking at his phone with his head down, headphones on, and his head down, and he's not getting better. And just teaching like what mindset for different aspects of athletic life is important. And then you take that concept and you start teaching adults how to do hard things because there's this period of time that most of us have, usually from about 22 to we'll say mid 30s, when people start getting interested in doing big things with their bodies again because all the organized sports are over. Life has hit you in the face a little bit. You've been working the corporate life. I'm not speaking to myself necessarily, but to a lot of people who I work with, you're working with the corporate world. It's not really giving you what you thought it was going to give you when you start out. So how do we change things up? Well, I think changing things up with your body and letting that lead to your mind is really important. And I don't know all the answers from a leadership standpoint. I've never been in the corporate world, which is why we're kind of working with you to kind of navigate those things. But I think the lessons I've been able to teach athletes, whether they're endurance athletes doing these huge ultras, which is 80% of my clientele now, or they're team sport athletes that are just trying to get stronger for their sport and bring more to that type of team. I know that it translates really well. And I also know that a lot of people have not dived into this part of what can make us all better people. Better people first, honestly. It makes, you know, these things make us more patient and more compassionate. You know, building trust and confidence in people, which leads to confidence, which is going to make everyone better, make the families better and everything. So I knew that you had a piece that I could not speak to, but I knew that we'd be able to bounce these ideas off of each other and off of the people that we're going to work with on these retreats that we're putting together. You go somewhere beautiful. We were talking about this offline. You go somewhere beautiful. You get out of your day-to-day environment. You open your mind and your body up to new experiences, and you come back and you apply all that stuff to the things that weren't necessarily perfect or working how you wanted them to. So that's kind of what we're doing, man. It's going to be pretty cool. So yeah, this is a good time. Adventure Leadership Retreats is what we're calling it. If you guys are listening on Becoming Ultra, this may or may not relate to you. It's for people who want to be really active and who are trying to do big things in their personal and business life when they get home. Me and Kale are both entrepreneurs, and we're passionate about it. And I think we'd do anything to keep the lifestyle that we have. And we want to share what's working for us, but we also want to push people a little bit. So this probably isn't like your typical corporate retreat where you're going to go, you know, wear your khakis and your button up and sit in a fluorescent lit air conditioned place. We're going to be in the humidity in Costa Rica. It might rain on us. We're going to be doing some workouts. You don't have to be an elite athlete by any means. You have to have some base level fitness, but we'd love to get teams from the same organizations together out there. We'd love to get solopreneurs out there. You know, I would consider myself one of those. This is something that I think I would need. And usually when you find something that you would need, you start to create it. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're truly an entrepreneur. So, that's what we're doing. So I don't know, Kale, like when we started coming up with this idea, we've been working on it for pretty much since we went to Costa Rica in February. We came up with the idea out there. We're almost done with the website. Both of us are amazing designers, I have to say.
I don't know about that. You might be. I can just fill in the gaps. So
some
I
of the back and forth skill set. Some of the back and forth has been hilarious because Kale texts me about, how in the hell do you do this? I was like, yeah, just send me a message. We'll figure it out. But yeah, so we had this idea of going back down to Costa Rica in February. Paint a picture. Like we were down there like, yeah, this would be perfect for this concept. So what about our trip to Costa Rica for the running retreat kind of made you think that, and how are we going to give this experience to other people?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, it starts just beautiful area, obviously, you know, tropical, but also mountains, a little bit of everything. And, you know, really with POC and what they did for us and the guiding, it removed a lot of what you typically are problems or challenges on a vacation or a trip, right? It's like, you don't know where you're going to eat. You don't know what you're going to do that day. And that we're going to have that all planned out. So people show up, they do the work, and they're not worried about what they're eating. They're not worried about where they're eating, where they're sleeping. They're not even worried about what trail they're running or what workout they're doing. And so we decided to add the leadership piece because I think, you know, you mentioned a little bit is that mind body connection is so huge. And a big piece of that is removing people from their environment that they're comfortable with. And we hit on this, we'll hit on this a lot during this trip is that, you know, we're just too comfortable in life. Every day we just show up, we do the things. You know, a lot of us don't push ourselves as well as we can, you know, for whatever reason, we get busy. And that leads to, you know, burnout. It leads to health issues. It leads to a lot of, you know, bad relationships. And you know, we have to find these environments where we can put ourselves in, you know, a controlled environment, but also where it's going to push us, where there's going to be people that are there to help us, you know, experience that, you know, what it feels like on the other side. And I always share with the teams that I work with when I'm doing leadership development is like, the good stuff is on the other side of hard. And if you think about that, you have to work to get past something, you know, and you struggle and you fail and you do all these things and you might have some confrontation on your team. But once you get past that, the connection that you have, it's you can't just make that up. you have to go through that process. And it's the same thing with us individually, is, you know, to have a great life, to do these things, is we have to practice doing hard things. And the more we practice doing hard things, whether it's physical or mental or as a team in our daily work lives, and that doesn't mean we're doing stupid things and we're stressing ourselves out, but we're being, we're really thinking about how do we get on the other side of whatever challenge that we currently have. Like, if I want to grow my business, what do I need to do? I need to commit to certain things. You know, I might need a better banking relationship. I might need to go out and hire somebody that is smarter than me. And I need to be okay with that. And so we're bringing that all together on this trip where, you know, it's the mind body thing is so critical, because in the new environment where we're going to put people, you know, through some tests, we're going to be right there with them. We're going to help them be successful, but we want them to have those moments on this trip so that when they come back, they're at a different level. They have an experience, you know, often we talk about, you know, you're going to make some new best friends on these trips because you're with like-minded people doing hard things. And it's, that's a bond that you cannot recreate just by, you know, talking to somebody online or in passing. You know, and it's really that stair step, for that next level. And one of the things that, that I've seen over the last couple of years going through the ultra process, and, you know, Megan and I are getting ready to do our 50 mile in a couple of weeks, is, you know, I thought I was really good at in a lot of areas I was, but adding the physical piece and having a daily process to it has put me at a different level in the business world, because I'm always practicing doing hard things, right? Saturday was 26 miles, you know, and I told somebody, it's like, yeah, I summited Mount Pisgah and Eugene five times, and they just look at me like I'm crazy, you know, but then you start to do those runs and stuff, and you see the look on people's face, and it's just like, I'm just out here doing these things, training for life. Yeah. And that's really what we're about, is creating that environment where people can gain some skill set, but it's really about, what are they going to do with that when they get back?
Yeah. And you know, like so many coaches, it's so easy to run somebody into the ground just for the sake of running them into the ground. Like if you came into the gym and I wanted you to be miserable within 10 minutes, I could have you freaking miserable within 10 minutes. And, mm-hmm. and to be honest, sometimes that is the goal. Sometimes it's like, how's somebody going to react to the hellstorm that's coming their way? But a lot of times it's just showing people that there are other ways to break through some barriers. And like a good example would be, you know, I don't know what you knew about ultra running before you kind of went to that trail camp and started diving in, but so many people that kind of come through my virtual doors, if you will, literally just learn about the sport a week before, and they dive in and they're like, wow, there's this world. I didn't know people ran more than 26.2 miles. And I would be willing to bet that a lot of the population still doesn't even know that's a thing.
Yep.
But you get into it and you go do some of these efforts, and you know, these efforts take a good part of a day. And then you're like, wow, this is really translating into my day-to-day. For me, it was like being patient with my kids, mm-hmm. after a long day. Like yesterday I worked a physical 15 hours from 3:30. I finished up some programs for athletes that were on the West Coast, and I woke up, got that done. And then I went and worked with 7 clients. I had 4 or 5 calls. I did a workout with a buddy, got home 6 or 7 o'clock. That kind of endurance I didn't have that when I was 22. I had the work ethic, but I didn't even know that I had that kind of endurance, you know?
Yep.
And I think we can continue to learn those things. And, you know, like anytime you have people that want to be clients or be part of a coaching thing, they have to trust you a little bit in the beginning. And then we have to earn their trust during, and then, you know, on that second, third day for these retreats, like you got the trust, they're ready to go, man. And we can mm-hmm. really see some huge transformations. And kind of to dive into, so if you guys are just kind of messing around, Adventure Leadership Retreats is the website.com. We're going to Costa Rica again. We're working with our same partner down there. I am putting another running retreat on the same start day as this one. So I'll have a couple coaches working with runners down there. Me and Kale will be working with the leadership group. We'll be separate, but we're going to a couple places with our partner POC down there that are just amazing. The ability to unplug, the ability to get uncomfortable, We're going to work you to your physical level. Everyone, I'm a really good coach in this way. Like, I'm not going to have everybody doing the same thing if they can't do the same thing. We're going to find what your sweet spot is for some of the efforts, and we're going to take those efforts, you know, to the cafe, to where we drink 87 cups of coffee down there, because it's so amazing and it's weaker than the coffee in the States. You know, maybe we'll have some iced tea or beer in the afternoon, and kind of just break down what happened in the morning. You know, we're going whitewater rafting in one of the most beautiful rivers I've ever been on, and it's actually rated as such in the world. We'll be whitewater rafting. We'll be, if you are getting out of your comfort zone, jumping off a waterfalls, and the workouts are tough. We'll be hiking, potentially biking, stand up paddleboarding. There's just so many things that we're going to do that are fun and adventurous that might get you out of your comfort zone, and that are physical that will get you out of your comfort zone. And we're going to take those lessons back to the table, and Kale's going to break down a lot of the themes in the days. So we go get the adventure and the endorphins, and then we come back kind of at peace and get the energy, the nervous energy out, and some of the anxiety out. And we can break down and break down these concepts and find ways to apply them to our life when we get out of this place. Mm-hmm. So February 2nd through 7th, 2024, we're trying the max that we're going to take for this, just so that we have a good coach to participant ratio, is 12. So running camps, I can go up to 18 or 22, 24. For this, we're going to keep it at 12. We'll meet in Costa Rica with our guides. We have an awesome way to get around the country. We don't have to worry about it. You hop in the bus that's air conditioned and got Wi-Fi, and you go to the next place. Even though a lot of the efforts are going to be tough, y'all, the places, we're not slumming it. I'll leave it at that. A lot of times me and Lauren will like under promise and over deliver on the lodging and stuff. And the food is amazing. The people are amazing. The culture is amazing. We can get to places where your phone is obsolete. Thank goodness, because we all need that. And I can't promise a lot with a lot of the things that I do entrepreneurially, but I can promise you that you will walk away feeling refreshed, energized, and ready to kind of attack your day to day when you get back. One of the things we do, and I don't know if this is unique, I'm not in the leadership retreat world, and this is something we just created out of the top of our heads, but we're going to do a lot of pre and post stuff. So the pre stuff is more of a reading list. We want people to have some perspective and some different content areas. It's entertaining reading. Me and Kale are too stupid to be reading dry stuff.
needs to hold our attention.
So really good with that. We'll do a couple Zoom calls to have people introduce and get in the right mindset before they come down there. We'll take care of you guys completely when we get down there. And then we'll do about 3 to 6 months of follow-up accountability. How are you applying this stuff to your day-to-day lives? We're just looking for people to be a part of this first one, man. That's the pitch. We think it's a great idea. We think it's necessary. If you're a leader in a corporate world, or an entrepreneurial world, or a startup world, and you want to get your team down there, let's do it. That's kind of where we're starting off. And this is the first time we've talked about it publicly. It's always kind of nerve-wracking to put yourself out there with a new concept. You can kind of hear in our voice, we're trying to figure out what exactly it is, but, I don't know, 20 years of coaching athletes, I'm really confident in my skills, and probably a little more than 20 years for you being a leader in the business world. I know you're confident with your skills. So it's going to be a blast, man.
Yeah, I think it's a great combination of both of our skill sets, and really just putting people in that place where they can learn and be better. You know, and we've talked about teams, whether it's a corporate team, you know, if you're let's say you're in an organization and you want more, but you don't know what that more is, this is a perfect fit for you too, because sometimes, you know, to get around like-minded people or people that are going to push you, you know, both physically and mentally. And I mean, I know me personally, the trail camps we've done, I have a lot of friends all across the country now from this process. I mean, I got a picture yesterday from Chris and their group out on their hike yesterday, you know, their big hike. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that we have now. And there's just a connection. But, you know, and Scott's mentioned this before in the past, is like, you know, we can go to most major cities and reach out to somebody, or, hey, I know somebody that's in this industry that's totally different than me, but I can bounce something off of them. It's huge just to have that relationship and that trust. We're gonna talk a lot about trust and resilience, and just putting ourselves out there.
Yeah. No, I think the idea, you know, the communities that I've been able to build here in town and online, it's one of my decent skills in the business world, is like, I know how to bring people together that are like-minded. But one of the things I found in, especially ultra running, cause it's such a niche, weird freaking sport. Like, you just, it's hard to find people who think that you're sane when you tell them what you're doing, you know?
Yeah, and I know.
One of the things I found is like, you got somebody from some small town in Kansas or Oklahoma who can't find another soul that does this within 100 miles. Well, they're able to find that camaraderie and community online. And then you add the retreat in, you get to go solidify those relationships. And then when you walk away, you have, you know, for these things, 5 to 12 people that you can bounce ideas off that are thousands of miles away from you that you can, you know, have as accountability partners that you can brainstorm. I mean, me and Kale brainstorm all the time. We're not even in remotely similar businesses. It's not even close. Yep. But we're able to brainstorm ideas all the time. And I think that part is really, really cool. So I wanted to do one thing before we're done. We're both going to share one of our favorite stories from our Costa Rica trip. I wanted to share a story of the first client that I ever had in Colorado. Okay. Her name was Mary. I'm not going to give away too much more than that. Mary and Jeff, it was a husband wife team. And I was working at this gym, and I just gotten there. The facility that I came to Colorado for, I didn't like working for the lady that owned it. The business wasn't doing very well, and I needed to go learn how to start my own business. So I went to the gym and I started, and you had to sell yourself at these gyms, and I had never done that before. So a lot of them would be like referrals from your manager. And this couple came in, and at the time they're overweight and they want to lose some weight, and they're just the sweetest, bubbliest, nicest human beings you ever met. But my manager comes to me at the time and he says, "Oh, they're not going to buy training. So why don't you just go practice your sales?" I was like, "Oh, dude, that's just so creepy to me. Like, you looked at them and decided they weren't going to."
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always been one of the people, just, you treat everybody the same. You don't make any assumptions, because especially in Colorado, like, it's the most laid back place in the world. You'd be sitting next to a freaking billionaire for all you know.
Same in Oregon, man.
It's like, just be nice to people, dude. It's not that hard. And so we sit down, and, you know, I'm working with him for a week or two, and something comes up, and I found out her dad founded Remax. He was the founder of Remax International. Her mom happened to be one of the first 5 or 10 pilots for Delta. Like, just an awesome story. So just the pedigree from this family was nuts, dude. So for the next 5-10 years, I worked with these guys, and they took me on these trips, and they took me and my wife, once I met her, on these trips, and we're down in Scottsdale, you know, staying at these crazy places. I was driving Ferrari Spiders with them just for fun, because they're, you know, my parents were a nurse and a teacher. I'd never been exposed to any of this stuff, and these people were like the most laid back people that you could ever imagine. And it was like, why were they seeking out a coach in a place like that? Why was our coach assuming, or why was our manager assuming things about these people? And then the reason I bring the story up all the time is because so many people have made these assumptions, not about people they're selling to. They've made these assumptions about themselves in business. And like, especially with the athlete thing. Yeah. You have so many people that I have so many, like, I don't even call them testimonials, but just like messages saying, "The one thing that I really love working with you is that you always treated me like an athlete." And that's always been my MO. And, you know, virtually it's a little harder to do that, but in person, you know, the things that you say about yourself and to yourself are who you become. And it's just kind of a crazy, I don't know. That story was always kind of crazy to me, because there's just so many assumptions made. So I guess it's kind of a pitch to people who don't think that they're adventurous. They don't think that they're athletic. You don't have to have any special skill. You just have to have a little bit of drive and a little bit of want to come out here and do this stuff with us. Yeah, I love that story. But the Remax, this is pretty cool too. The Remax guy, when he was early on, so I got to hear all these crazy stories. So when he was early on, when they were starting, I think they were down in Arizona, somewhere south. Well, I want to say Arizona for some reason. But when he started Remax, pretty poor. And Dave Liniger is his name. And if I get this story wrong, it's probably out there on the internet somewhere, but this is how I remember the story. When he was young, him and his wife, Gail, who's the co-founder with them, they would grab their employees and throw them in a car and drive across you know, drive across the country to go to like a Zig Ziglar conference or some kind of business development conference. They just always believed in investing in themselves to learn just one thing that can make them better. And I know for a fact, like for people who are kind of on the fence for a concept like this, you're going to learn at least one thing about yourself when you come on a trip like this. Those stories just kind of always sit in the back of my head. And I think they're always kind of a good framing of why we do a lot of this stuff. Our trip to Costa Rica, what was the one memory? It can be funny. It can be transformative. It can be just something that you noticed, you know, about the geography. It doesn't matter. What's one thing that just kind of pops out to you when you think about it?
You know, I think overall it was just the feeling of the country, the Pura Vida lifestyle. You know, it's very welcoming. And then with that, I don't roll my R's well. So Luigi made a ton of fun of me because I couldn't say Pura Vida with rolling the R. Still can't, still working on it. But, you know, it was all in good fun, but really they're just everything that Pura Vida really embodies everything they do in Costa Rica. If you're having a good time, it's Pura Vida. You know, if it's scary, it's Pura Vida, whatever it is, it's just a lifestyle. And I think that's what I really connected with. And why I wanted to come back and why I wanted to bring this and try to share that opportunity with people. And, you know, because it is, we do have a short life, and if we don't put ourselves out there, we're not going to gain anything. You know, so that's kind of my pitch. If you don't put yourself out there, you know, what are we doing? You know, what are we trying to do? What are we going to become? You know, and, you know, the relationships, I talk about this a lot, is, you know, we always end up getting a text group from these trips, and I love it because, you know, we get nicknames and we get, you know, inside jokes, and, you know, you just get those moments that you remember for a lifetime. I think time slows down a lot too on these trips because you're in the moment. You know, some of those areas, the remote, we don't have our phones, and, you know, it usually takes us a day or two to really unplug. And that's really what I'm looking forward to because, you know, when we get into day two or three of this retreat, I think there's going to be some moments where people, you know, have some serious breakthroughs, especially because we are putting that mind body experience together. So, you know, I'm just really looking forward to it. And, you know, I think that I know the people that are going to go are going to have a great time because we've been there, and we're just marrying two great ideas really together.
Yeah, you touched on some of my favorite, actually. How bad you are at rolling your R's was one of my favorite ones.
Yeah.
And you know way more Spanish than me, but you're...
Yeah, I cannot roll the R.
It's top five worst, maybe. It's impressive.
It probably is, I know. I know, I remember Megan, though. She's like, how do you know this much Spanish? I'm like, I don't know. It just is coming back to me. I'm in the environment. 3 years of high school, I guess it paid off for something, you know?
Oh, it's great. And the guides down there, like, they just take care of us. Like, when I go down there, I don't have to worry about anything that has to do with logistics, which is really weird for me because, like, in the States, when I do these retreats, it's like I'm on 24/7. I don't know. The thing that I remember about – there's a lot because I was coaching, and you see the – it was more of an athletic effort for that trip. You just see people make some breakthroughs on what they thought about themselves. And, you know, there's a guy, Tim, on the trip who needed a little push because he's – a strong runner, and he just needed a little push, and mm-hmm. you do it in a loving way. You see that. But the thing that I love about these trips is by the second day, the first morning, usually at the Eco Lodge that overlooks the Pecuari River, everybody is so relaxed. Like, everybody wakes up, you sleep open air in Costa Rica, for 90% of the places. So it's usually screened in type stuff. There's birds everywhere. When you wake up, you wake up in an open air place, and you walk a few, you know, 20 yards to the main area, and everybody's just so relaxed, drinking coffee. People know when to talk and when to be quiet and take it in. It's just, we get back to kind of our roots of being in our environment and being present. And honestly, the price that we're charging for this would be worth 10 minutes of that, to be honest. Mm-hmm. For me it is. And I live yeah. I live in a really quiet, beautiful place day to day. And it's worth every dollar I spend on the place I live. So that's what my big takeaway is, because it's so hard to clear your mind in our culture, man. And I think we can give that to people on a trip like this. So
yeah, I think One thing that, as you were speaking, that really comes back to me is just connecting with the environment, and in so many different ways. You know, it's some of it's rainforest, some of it's tropical forest. You know, but we'll get into this on the trip through the book that we're going to share. But it's so important for us to just to be out in green space. You know, and it's very powerful and it's very motivating. You know, and like I live in Oregon, like you live in Colorado. I mean, we're always out, you know, doing these things, but it's just the more we put ourselves in these positions, you know, the more we have to draw on when things actually do get hard, right? When life really gets hard, you know, it's like anything, you got to practice it if you want to be good at it.
But yeah, February 2nd through 7th, Adventure Leadership Retreats. Check it out. Me and Kale Pearson are now business partners somehow. It's amazing.
Yes, sir.
And yeah, it's going to be a blast. So check it out, you guys. Appreciate your time.